Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're joining us from. Welcome to the School of Mary Live Cynical Series, and this is the Divine Will ebook series, where we take a methodical review, or try to, a methodical review, of Reverend Father Joseph Leo Iannuzzi's doctoral dissertation, which has abrogation, which is approval, by the Pontifical Gregorian University of Rome, which is authorized by the Holy See. So it's all been approved, and we've got some great news too that the writings officially by the church have also been approved. So we'll go there in a moment briefly, but we're going to begin as we always do with prayer. I'm going to bring in Maureen. Perhaps she can lead us in prayer. I think you're muted, Maureen.
Sorry, I told you I was singing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Thank you, most holy Trinity, for enabling us to enter into union with you by means of prayer. May your kingdom come, and your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Fiat. The School of Mary invocation. O Mary, Mother of Mercy, Queen of the Divine Will, please teach us to love Jesus and live in the spirit of our vocation more and more. The spirit of faith, hope, and love. The spirit of obedience and of loving the holy will of God. The spirit of chastity, poverty, and humility. The spirit of mercy and apostolic zeal for the salvation of souls, especially those whom the boundless mercy of your divine Son has entrusted to us. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of the Divine Will, please pray for us. Fiat. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Glorious day to be together today. Once again, we really are so blessed. Grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually, and truly blessed to be alive at this time. Yeah, we mentioned about Father Iannuzzi's dissertation having the approval, the abrogation, especially in English, because there are no versions at this current time in English that have the Church's seals of approval. We've got good translations, but the Nihil Obstat is given for the Italian translation. So it won't be long, hopefully, that the other languages and translations will be given to us, perhaps all at once. That would be great. But just to remind everyone, great news. It was June 10th, I believe it was, of this year. We got the announcement in August 12th, but on June 10th, the Church gave its Nihil Obstat for the resumption of the cause. And again, with the Nihil Obstat, they deem that there is nothing in Luisa's writings that are contrary to faith and morals. So nobody can say there's error in there, or this is not Catholic, it's not Christian. I mean, they could say it, but now again, there are some not so good translations still in circulation, but for Luisa's writings themselves, the true authentic writings, there is no error. So technically nobody should tell you you can't read this, or even kick you off church property. But again, the pastor, the bishop does have jurisdiction in that area. And if he deems that he doesn't want this, again, that's his prerogative. And we have to be obedient to that on, again, church property. You cannot control what's in your basement, what's in your house. And that's why I think, Maureen, again, we mentioned this, the Archbishop Bacheri sent that note with Father John Owen Brown when he came to visit us here at Mary's Hill. He says, meet in your homes. Just stay in your homes now until, you know, the fog clears, until all the fireworks are done. Because, you know, he knew that this was, I mean, this is the greatest gift that God can give to mankind. So, of course, it's going to come under the greatest attack by Satan. Of course it is. So, again, and even some good people will be tricked into doing bad things, thinking they're doing good. That's what Our Lady said at Fatima. And that's exactly what's happening. And it's interesting, too, because, you know, we really haven't heard any rebuttals or any corrections of Relevant Radio and Tim Staples and a lot of other things where they were saying that, you know, the Divine Will is not Catholic, it's full of error. We haven't heard any corrections to their statements. So we hope they do make that, because quite frankly, you know, anyone who's misled the divine will. That's terrible. That's a horrible thing. And but our job is to be cheerleaders and to recognize this gift for what it is, the greatest gift that God can give, not just that he has given, but that he can give, because simply it's all of himself. And how could he give more than all of himself? So we're really blessed. And we've been through this ride. It's been bumpy, but it should get clearer now, but it could get more difficult also. Again, this is a dog being cornered, and there's going to be all stops released, all avenues in which to go against us from the other side, but he's not going to win. God wins. We may lose a few battles, but we're not going to lose the war. So great news about the Nihilopsis. I don't know if you've been hearing any feedback, Maureen, from this great news. We
No,
pretty
I
much
haven't.
assumed that this was, standard business. I mean, we knew this was approved. We knew it was all good. So it really didn't come as a terrible. The only thing that was a bit shocking was I didn't expect it this fast, but I thought this was going to be, especially when they put the cause on pause. I thought, okay, they're going to have to recap, recalculate everything, come back to the table with a better insight and better understanding of what Luis has written. And I thought that would have taken more time, but this is great. And Mother Gabriel made a really good point too. She says perhaps part of the consideration of doing it as quickly as possible is the fact that you don't want error to get traction. Like, for example, the South Korean bishops, the bishops in France, the bishop in Colorado Springs, South Korea. I mean, we're all claiming that there's error in the writings. And again, this is, I mean, when you hear a statement from a bishop or a priest or a diocese, you pretty much accept it as being, I hate to say gospel, but but being true. That's why it's very important that all of us be very careful with our words. Even Jesus told Louisa, be very careful when you speak about my divine will. So I think, getting back to the story, Father Gabriel says she thinks that so that, a lot of this error of the error would be spread, and that would just be more of a remaking and a redoing and correcting, that they said, okay, let's just get out there now and just put it all on the table. And we know that Mark Twain is I think given credit for the statement that a lie will travel halfway around the world before a truth puts his boots on. A lie goes fast. And how do you know everyone that's been communicated that lie? It's just impossible. And so again, I think for the sake of the faithful, they decided to do it as quickly as they could do it. And again, it's great news. It's great news. So we should expect now the critical edition next, which will be the overriding version of the writings that we will use. Actually, it'll even trump Father Nuzzi's dissertation. This will be the one that the Vatican and the Diocese of Trani wants us all to be working off of, so we have constant and accurate communication with all the groups. So that's great news. But again, we're still not sure what time. And I think even if that or when that does happen, Father Nuzzi's dissertation gives us insight. As Father Nuzzi summarizes. Now again, the summary that we may receive in the critical, I don't know. It might be the same, might be less, it might be more. We'll have to just wait and see. But I think Father's dissertation will always be useful because of the breadth of what he did. How we plucked out in the glossary like different like the chastisements, how we can take from 14 different volumes and take us into these are what Jesus says that we should expect to occur. I mean, that's nowhere. It's almost like a concordance of a topic, which is really, really great. So we're still going to use it. It's still going to be very, very beneficial. But the great news is that the church will dictate once the critical does come out and say, this is the working copy that all groups will use. I think that's great news. And hopefully that'll help take out of circulation some of those not so good translations. So good news. Anything else to add to that,
Well,
Marie?
I'd like to give a shout out to all the little divine will people all around the world, from their cenacles and their reading and their acts and their rounds that are doing it quietly hidden, because I think that's why these good things are happening, because we're taking an active role in laying the foundation for the kingdom to come. And so that beneficial do again that we talk about a lot. So keep doing our acts and rounds and know that they're those little things that we do are bringing the kingdom, and we're going to see I mean, the old red legs is going to try and get in there, but we're going to see some more advancements, I think, with Louisa. So keep on going. Keep on doing what you're doing, all you divine will people out there.
I think that's great, great ammunition, and I agree that there's going to be it is for the prayers, it is for the steadfastness, I think, of what we've experienced together. I think it's the perseverance that Jesus speaks about, that every time we persevere, we go a little bit deeper, we trust him a little more. He sort of wraps us with this mystical wrap that keeps us together and keeps us from exiting the divine will as much. So yeah, it's all together. We're all here together. Again, I think this is the greatest example of the communion of saints, the gift of living the divine will. I'm not making a theological statement because I'm not qualified to do that, but it just seems to fit. I mean, what else can connect us more than the divine will, going to past, present, and future? And that's the big, that's something we really have to keep thinking about. I mean, this is so different or so much greater than what's been given. And again, I think Father Nuzzi gave a great example of that a couple of weeks ago on Radio Maria. I mean, you take Daniel making rounds in chapter 3 in scripture, I think 53 and on. He's making rounds, basically similar to what Louisa did. The big difference is when Daniel was making those rounds, his prayers were only effectuating a change for just a few generations, just those around him or at alive at that time. The divine will comes and says, and God says, okay, I'm taking this to a whole different level. Do the same thing, make the same rounds, but they're very similar, but now you're doing it on the level of God, due to God. So what does that do? It invokes now a transtemporality. All creatures, past, present, and future, reap the reward or the benefit from this due. Astonishing. Also, it's not just limited to time. It's beyond time. It's eternal. And when you think about those things, then you think about the end of time and the end of times. So there's a big difference between those two, just with that one letter S. The end of times is, of course, the times we're living in right now, where it's the end of evil. But the end of time really goes with that eternal transtemporal mode of prayer that we're in right now, because the end of time just means it goes back to Adam. See, Adam had no time. Adam and Eve had no time except for when he sinned. Then everything was based on time. So the end of time basically means that our prayers will no longer have a limitation. It won't just be for those few generations that we're speaking to. It'll be for all souls, past, present, future, transtemporal. That in of itself is the greatest, again, difference between this and anything else God has given us, because even the greatest of all saints could not do this, not because it wasn't within them, but they just didn't have the opportunity because God did not make it available. And so that's why we really have to be so, so thankful, regardless of how difficult maybe our lives are right now. Because remember, suffering also, what does Jesus say? He says basically to Luis and to us, the more you suffer, the more you're suffering, basically is just an expression of how much more I love you. I mean, that takes a lot of faith. Okay, so you're making me suffer, Lord, because you love me. I hate to see what you do if you hate me. But again, it's that closeness. It's drawing us. It's allowing us to know ourselves. It's allowing us to understand that nothingness that we talked about. We're nothing without God. We're everything to God when we're with God. Again, it's just everything is being brought that Article 66. Everything is being explicated. Everything is being better understood. Everything is now. I can't use the word complete because that would not be accurate because you couldn't use that word. But again, it's making it better understandable at this period of time for everything that's given to us and has been given to us for the last 2,000 years, or at least 6,000 years, but let's just call it the last 2,000 years from the beginning of the church. So we're blessed. We really are. And there's no such thing as a bad day anymore. Yes, there will be some days better than others, but there is no such thing as a bad day. It's incredible. What's also incredible is we're finishing up. We're actually on foot the last I think the last passage excerpt is going to be from 113. So Maureen, if we can just take the second paragraph, just like the two lines or wherever you stop, because we're going to just go to 113. It's up to you.
Complementing the Thomistic twofold schema of operating and cooperating grace, Louisa asserts that unless the soul receives the gift of living in the divine will through great, unheard of, continuous, and a long chain of graces, its meritorious acts that share in God's divine mode of operation are of themselves incapable of attaining to the eternal mode of his operation ad intra.
We're just talking about that. Without this gift, our prayers, our work, our living could not be transtemporal, could not be eternal, could not be in the end of time. Could not be, except for this gift. So when somebody somebody says, well, you know, I'm living this gift, or I've already received this gift, it's just a lack of understanding. We have to be very patient, because you know, God has really blessed us with being able to understand even a little bit. Remember, Jesus says, whether you understand these truths in full or in part, he considers us a child of the divine will. So don't feel bad if you don't understand them completely. I'm not even close. I don't think any of us are really, really that close, you know, some more than others. But it's not a matter of understanding this completely. It's understanding this enough to know God, to trust God, to believe him when he says that this is the greatest gift he's given, the greatest gift he can give, and that all we need to be is in the state of grace to receive it. But then if he's actually made these volumes and these writings available to us, which he has to everybody listening right now, he expects us to read or to listen, because this is the fast track. This is the blueprint, basically. Yeah, there are no diagrams, there are no rules. He says things in a paradoxical way, but basically he says, just learn my truths, and you'll just be enamored every time you go through one word, because every word is a divine life. And I don't fully understand that. How could every word be a divine life? But it is, because it's the words of God. And last but not least, scripture, as beautiful and as holy as it is, remember, gospel was written by men, influenced by God. The divine will, the book of heaven, was written by God. And even Pope Benedict goes so far to state that in or Pope Benedict Emeritus, he had a quote, but I don't have it in front of me. Anyway, these are the words of God. God Almighty speaking directly to Louisa and directly to us. We have to remember that. Some things were just for Louisa, of course, for her office, but most of what is communicated to Louisa is really communicated to her for our benefit. So in essence, we're included in that. When he's speaking to Louisa, he's speaking to us, unless it's speaking to Louisa about something pertaining directly to her office. And we all have an office too. And we can maybe go into that later, but I think I'm speaking too much. Okay, 113. We're going to bring that down now and go to that. I think it's the last passage we have here. And we're coming to the conclusion of this. And I think, as we mentioned, we took a vote on it. And I think we're going to go to, we're staying in the dissertation, but we're going to go to more to a theme-based approach, where we're going to take, let's say, for example, fusing, and we'll take the passages that Father Nuzzi articulates and leads us into to discuss food fusing and, you know, everything else, you know, grace and all the other things. It's nice. It really is nice, because then we can be well-versed in a specific subject. Instead of just, you know, having recollection of passages and volumes and things of that nature. And of course, I'm talking so I can just buy some time, because I can't find it. It's coming up. I know it is. Okay, so we're into September. Last week, remember, Maureen, we spoke about the Hours of the Passion. We read from the introduction to the Hours of the Passion, written by St. Hannibal de Francia, which is phenomenal. When you read that, I mean, that really gets you excited about reading the Hours of the Passion. It really, it creates that desire. It's almost like, you know, when we see a particular food we like, you know, the digestive system begins, it starts its process first, I think, the salivary glands, right, nurse? Is that what the first thing that happens, right? So that, you know, we start to salivate, you know, because we see something delicious. Same thing here. When we have a taste of this, it gets us excited. It gets us moved. And again, when we're moved, we are then to move God to give us this gift. And then, of course, he says, even greater than moving God is to enchant God. And how do you enchant God? You enchant God by believing him, by trusting him, and by having faith in him. Again, we're still enjoying this gift in faith, even though we have the nihil obstat, the imprimatur is coming next, critical edition is coming next. We're still in faith mode, still in faith mode, and that's beautiful. As Jesus says in Scripture, every time somebody was healed, it's your faith that's healed you. So the faith, and actually in this two volume two, he says faith is God. Gives us that language of heaven definition, simple, articulate, one word: faith equals God. So we are on. Speaking of the office, okay, this is I think it's the last passage for this footnote number 113.
Hey, it's September. Isn't today September 6th? Or no, is it the 7th? Do you know today's date? Sorry to put you on the spot.
Today's the 6th, but we're beginning on February 13th, though.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say, hey, we're starting on September
6th. Yeah, that would have been pretty good to do, but I had us all queued up here.
Okay. All right. Volume 12, February 13th, 1919. Jesus speaks to Louisa about her new office. Continuing in my usual state, I was searching and with anxiousness for my always lovable Jesus, and all goodness he came and told me. Beloved daughter of my will, do you want to come into my will and substitute in a divine manner for the many acts which have not been done by our brothers, for many others done humanly, and for other acts, holy, yes, but human, and not done in the divine order?
Okay, right there. Stepping in the breach, sound familiar? Doing what others could not do, didn't want to do, didn't know they should do. Again, the continuation of Adam and Eve, that's what Jesus explains to us. That's our job. If you just think about our job, you know, Mother Gabriel's very right. For the most part, she speaks about acts and rounds. And that's really what we're called. That's our job. That's our full-time job, to do acts and rounds. But of course, the more we understand the value of those acts and rounds, the more valuable they become. That's what we're doing. And we're doing that, as Jesus articulates right here, we're stepping in the breach. We're doing it for those acts that have not been done by our brothers, for those done humanly. Jesus says even the greatest, the most beneficial, the most charitable acts ever done, if it's not done with God first and foremost in mind, they don't have the value of what they could have if we were doing it for the love of God and to serve him. And he says, we have to try to take that taint of human will out of everything we do. And we can only do that when we're fused in the divine will, because even if we try to keep it out, I mean, it's so, Maureen, we talked about this, it's so powerful. It just comes creeping back. I mean, sometimes we can't even help ourselves. I mean, I know there's certain phrases that I want to stop using, but I find myself almost like second nature, going to them again. That's something that has to be learned. That's something that has to be applied. And how do you do that? I mean, it takes grace. We can't make this change in the amount of time we may have to do it by ourselves. There's no way. So again, we look for grace. We know we're receiving grace, and we ask for the grace to be able to use the grace to its fullest. And it's all about grace. I think we spoke about that.
I think we have to have a positive. We have to be positive, because
agreed,
this is totally new, and you can't get frustrated. And what I say, when you're trying to learn how to live in the divine will, you learn first when you're not in the divine will. And in that, you're learning. You say, ooh, that wasn't good. So you're learning. So you're advancing, because you're becoming more aware of how you are, and that's a good thing. So, be positive about every little bit. Jesus is so patient with us, and he has to undo everything we've ever done, the way we live, the way everything has to get undone. And it can be messy, and it can be frustrating, and then you feel like you're not good enough. And none of us are good enough. It's all a gift, just like Holy Communion. Who's ever worthy to receive the Eucharist? No one. It's a gift, and that's what this is. So be positive And any little thing that you do, I mean, I'm giving myself, I have to give myself this pep talk. So be positive and don't get frustrated. You have your whole eternity to work it out because that's how long we'll be doing this. Should I continue on, Peter?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, just for a moment. I just wanted to, another thing too would be to surround ourselves with positive people, because sometimes we can be brought down by others. Now, I'm not saying they're doing it nefariously or doing it intentionally, but we have to surround ourselves with people that can help us. Because again, this is not easy, like you said, Maureen. We have to stay positive, even when the world is spiraling out of control. The church seems to be doing the same. This seems to be that, and this seems to be this. So you really have to, all these distractions, we really have to try to not focus on, but it's difficult. But I think one thing we can do and stay really positive and start smiling, just remember what Father Annunzio reminds us in the Splendor of Creation, regarding the immediate entry. He says that, quote, anyone in the state of grace. Now we have control over we're in the state of grace. We can go to confession. Even Pope Francis told us during COVID, if you can't get to a priest because of the situation, confess directly to God with the firm promise that you will go to a priest to confess those same sins whenever available, and you'll be forgiven. So state of grace, we have control over. We can do that or we cannot do that. So finally, he reminds us that Jesus states that anyone in the state of grace can immediately experience God's eternal mode of activity. And he says it's abundantly clear in the writings of church mystics besides Louisa. But Louisa, again, is the main mystic, of course, here. But Vera Gruda, another one, she states, quote, in the beginning, to the soul, the journey, this crossing the XL, will consist in being attentive, vigilant. I think you talked about that also, Maureen, in order to rid itself of all obstacles to my permanent indwelling within it. My graces in the souls that are called to this work are gradual. So most of us, this is going to be a gradual process. Some of us can get it immediately, like St. Paul and St. Mary Magdalene, never to go back. That does happen. But for most of us, it's going to be gradual. And Vera Gruda, is very, again, she's very controversial too, but they haven't found anything wrong with her writings. She said, similar to our ability in the divine will, she says that we are called to co-create, to co-redeem, to co-sanctify.
Wow.
All that is possible in the divine will when fused with God, because it's He doing it. And it's just, basically God allowing us to ride His coattails or be on His back. He's doing it, but we're with Him as sort of like that co-pilot, that co-redeemer, that co-creator, that co-sanctifier. It's astonishing that God has not only not given up on us, but has given us this beautiful gift that we have every single moment of the day. That's why there cannot be a bad day anymore. Okay.
I did everything in the divine order, but I am not yet content. I want the creature to enter my will and to come to kiss my acts in a divine manner, substituting for all, just as I did.
It's Jesus' desire. I mean, I took a second look there. Come to kiss my axe. I mean, it sounded like it was going to go somewhere else. Jesus' desire. We have to have some fun. Jesus' desire. That's what He wants us to do. Now, He would not have a desire for us to do something if He wasn't going to give us the tools to do it. He knows we can't do it by ourselves. He knows we're frail. So if He wants something done, He's going to be giving us the means in which to do it. We just have to have that upright intention, that being in a state of grace, and really believe that if God wants it, I can do it. Because it's true. Did any of us ever dream, regardless of where we started our journey, wherever we were years ago, whether it be religious orders, prayer groups, did we ever think that we would be with God? Real time, co-creating, co-redeeming, co-sanctifying? Absolutely not. But it's a reality. And the church is recognizing that too. When this happens, when the church fully recognizes what's here, how can they declare her just a saint? I mean, it's almost like there's got to be something above that. even a doctor of the church, you know, a church father, it has to be, or church mother, I guess, is how I mean, it'd be really interesting how they classify Louisa. But again, I think the next bump will be venerable. It could be blessed, but we'll wait and see. But great things are on the horizon for sure.
Once
Yeah, Jesus.
people, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I'm done. I'm done.
Okay, I was going to say, once people really get a hold of this divine will, they won't be watching all the bad things anymore. You know, the people, all the
That's a good point.
bloggers and the Catholic, oh, and he did this, and there's a history of this, and the Masons and all, you know, that's going to be pushed aside and say, yeah, but look what's happening on the good side. You know, we're going to advance into reading about the divine will and what God is doing to offset all this other stuff. Because you can really get consumed in it, and then you get curious, you want to know more, and you want to read another book, and people are reading that up. It's like, oh my gosh, oh, enough already. Let's see what God is doing. You know, you only need to read one book or
Right.
one blogger, and you say, okay, well, that's this side. Now, what's God doing? And then this, it lightens you up. It gives you hope. You say, of course, good is overcoming evil. Of course. This is the divine will, and it makes so much sense. Fills in the gap, and we're standing in the breach. And it's just it's a great story. Like, it's gonna, I don't know, just to be a part of it is wonderful.
It's like the greatest love story ever, right?
It's a love story.
It
Because
really
that's
is.
all Jesus, when you read the volumes, if people could not read them and say, I don't get that, I don't get that, and just read them and say, wow, look how much he loves us. Because that's what he's trying to show us, how much he loves us, that we can do this, that he's inviting us, that he wants to reside in us totally and completely, the Blessed Trinity. Once you start reading it like that, you're like, whoa, you don't even care if you don't understand half of what you read that day. Because what you do, you're able to understand that he's doing all this because he loves you. And it takes over everything else. You don't care about the little things.
You know, what you just said is so important too, because it's really the posture that we have. He said, if we don't understand this fully, even in part, you know, it's okay. But it's the posture that we take that God is looking at. Because again, he
Yeah.
knows we're not going to get this. It takes grace. It takes
Yeah.
mystical gifts that God can give to whomever he wishes, not like our baptismal gifts that we all get sort of similarly. So yeah, if we're in that posture, I do believe that, Maureen, that he will give us the enlightenment when we need it. Or when he deems we should have it.
Yeah.
See, we always want it on our time. And
Right.
another thing too, when he talks about how we don't understand this, especially first time through, we may be looking at this from our own human perspective, you know, the way we always process things you know, in the past. And a lot of times he has to give us that insight. And again, I don't want to take too much time on it, but I think I mentioned it a couple times. Louise is always against chastisements because she loves everybody. And she says, give me everything that you were going to give in the form of chastisements just to me and spare the other people. I mean, could we say that and really mean it? I don't know. But so in volume three, June 7th, 1900, Jesus gives Louisa the keys of justice so that she can understand about the chastisement. Because she was saying, you know, I don't understand this, you know, why do you have to, if it was up to me, I wouldn't chastise anyone. And then in this volume three, June 7, 1900, basically, after she says, I will not chastise anyone, Jesus gives her the key, gives her the understanding. She actually goes in the mind of Jesus. She sees what Jesus is seeing. She feels what Jesus is feeling. And then she says, quote, I found myself all confused and embarrassed. And so to get rid of it, I said to our Lord, through this light, which he just gave her, with which you have surrounded me, I understand things differently. And if you leave it up to me, I would do worse than you would do. And cool.
Wow.
So basically, after she understood it from a divine perspective, she says,
Yeah.
if this was up to me, I would chastise them worse. So now she was not only not against it, but she's saying that I would be even less charitable than you, God, because it's deserving. So she understood. A lot of times we are so thick at times that he has to give us this type of understanding, and he will do it. But for those, I think for those situations and for those ideals that we're having difficulty understanding, he's going to bring us into it. sort of give us into again that new dimension, that different dimension. I mean, here she's thinking like God. She sees like God sees. And then she says, wow, I'd be worse than you. And I think this sort of cured her from that. And he also goes on to say that without chastisements, Jesus would lose the divine order. God is order. Remember, Adam and Eve, when they sinned, everything was placed into disorder. The waves got big, the thistles grew, the beasts got wild. Everything was in disorder. Now we're bringing everything back to order. God is about order. And chastisement, fortunately or unfortunately, has to be there to keep the order. He has to be fair. And he has to do what he has to do to wake up everyone. It's basically chastisements are just a wake-up call. He tries to gently nudge us. He may throw water on us. But a lot of times we just don't listen. We don't recognize. We don't hear him. And what does he have to do? He has to do something. He has to allow something to occur. Like, remember in the United States, you're 9-11. For weeks or a couple of weeks after 9-11, the churches, it was like you couldn't get in the church. They were packed. Only for a few weeks, and everything went back to the way it was. But see, sometimes he has to wake us up that way. And that's what he was saying to Louisa, that's why he uses chastisement. So chastisements are going to happen, but they could be mitigated. And our axe and rounds can mitigate them. I think they've already mitigated them to a certain degree. And I think that could even increase. So we just have to keep, what does he say to us, regardless of what's going on? Upright intention, just keep moving forward, perseverance.
Yeah. I think if any of us had seen have had the chance to see heaven and hell, we'd want the chastisements.
Yeah.
Because what's the divine will to save souls, to bring the kingdom, and to save souls? And if we got 1 second look at hell, we'd be like, we're ready, Lord, whatever you want. You know, I mean, we're trying to save us and the whole world from an eternal damnation where
That's
you
it.
never
Total.
get out.
It never ends.
Never
either
ends.
good or bad, it never ends.
Yeah.
So it's worth any sacrifice in this life. And where is that other quote? It's a beautiful quote too. That anyway, I'll find that later.
And
It
I
is
think
worth any sacrifice.
It's going to help us when things are bad, and we in our human way would like to fight or whatever, I don't know, get in arguments and stuff. It's going to hold us back because we have to have the love of Christ for all people, you know, because we don't want anyone. These people that are just crazy and doing awful things, we need to pray for them. We can't, you know, there's so much on YouTube. Somebody was showing me in my family. I said, I don't want to see that. These kids are possessed. You know, these kids with these gender transgender and they're yelling and screaming, and people are laughing at them saying, look at these weirdos. We can't be like that. We have to say these are God's children. They're on their way. We have to love all these people, no matter what they've done. We have to change our heart, and I think that's what God's doing to us too. He's trying to make our heart like his. And so we have that spirit of martyrdom, really. I mean, the divine will is a martyrdom, Jesus said, worse than physical martyrdom. And we need to have that because God's calling us to that too in the divine will. A
And
heroic love, a heroic virtue, but heroic love. Yeah.
And next to Our Lady, the greatest example of how to do this was just emulate Louisa.
Yeah.
I mean, she had the perfect docility, the perfect courage, the perfect everything. And we can obtain that too through grace. She was given it through grace. We can do the same. You just have to trust God. I found that quote, if I may. Can I just throw this in there real quickly?
Yeah.
Quote, this kingdom is so valuable that once you have glimpsed it, it is worth parting with everything you have in order to gain it. Even though to others you may look like a fool, you know of the hidden treasure, and that makes it worth everything. End quote. I think if we recognize, think about what you just said before, there's only one of two places that we're going to go, and we go there for all of eternity. How long is eternity? It's a really long time. Doesn't we cannot change where we go. We can now. We can't when it's too late. This is worth parting with everything we have. There's nothing more valuable than this. Nothing. We're so blessed.
Yeah. Okay. Therefore, come, come, I long for it. I desire it so much that I put myself in feast when I see that the creature enters into this divine environment, and multiplying herself with me, she multiplies in everyone and loves, repairs, substitutes for all and for each one in a divine manner. I no longer recognize human things in her, but all my things.
And if we don't think that, I mean, if I think about how bad I am all day, I'm going to be paralyzed. It would be right what I'm thinking, but I wouldn't be able to move forward. God says he's not looking at our past. He says something to the extent, I don't care about your past. Well, what are you doing now? What have you done now? Did he care about St. Paul's past before he had 100? An 80, 360 degree reversion? Did he care about St. Mary Magdalene's past when she was gifted with what she received from our Lord? No, he doesn't. He's not concerned about the past, but he wants our future to be with him. Remember, he wants his paternity back and Our Lady wants her maternity back. They will do whatever they have to. Most times it's tough love. We know that as parents. If you're a parent, you know you've got to invoke tough love sometimes. For really serious situations. Yeah, the children may not understand now, but they will later. As long as we understand that, that's all that matters. It's incredible.
My love rises and multiplies itself. Reparations multiply to infinity. Substitutions are divine. What joy, what feast. The saints themselves unite with me and make feast, ardently waiting for a sister of theirs to substitute for their own acts, holy in the human order, but not in the divine order. They pray me to soon let this creature enter this divine environment, and that all of their acts be substituted only with the divine will and with the mark of the Eternal One. I did this for all. Now I want you to do it for all.
So just think about that for a moment. With the tools God has given us in this, at this time, in our lifetime, he's allowing us to complete the work of St. Francis, St. Dominic, St. Mary Magdalene, St. John the Baptist, because all their great work, their holy work was done in the human order. We can take all of their tremendous work and bring it to God to divinize. They're waiting for us to do that. And if any of us are not feeling good about ourselves or down or even slightly depressed, we have to snap out of it. Because the saints in heaven are counting on us. They're cheering us on. And they can intercede for us. They can plead to God for us. And God hears them. He listens to them. We really have no idea what we have here. I know I don't.
Talk about a divine plan.
I know.
I mean, we are oblivious. We just say, Lord, what do you want us to do? Okay. It's amazing.
And yet we're so quick to mess it up or not to believe it. Or I'm the same thing. I wake up in the morning, so I forget the preventing. How could you forget that?
Yeah.
It's everything.
Well, this is the kind of God we have, that he knew Adam was going to sin and he made him anyway.
Yeah.
Like we can't understand his mercy and his love. It's just with our minds, we can't do it.
If we understood it, it wouldn't be as great as it is. That's for sure. Can we do one more paragraph? Do you have enough time, Maureen?
Yeah, oh,
okay,
sure.
Because I know we're right about the hour. Okay.
And I, my Jesus, your words confuse me. I know that you alone are enough for everything, And besides, everything is yours. And Jesus, surely I am enough for all, but am I not free to elect one creature, give her this office together with me, and make her be enough for all? And then, what do you care if this is all mine? Can I perhaps not give you what is mine? This is all my contentment, to give you everything. If you do not correspond to me and do not accept it, you make me discontent, defrauding me of that whole chain of graces which I gave you to bring you to this point of calling you to this office.
And he's saying they're also calling all of us to whatever office we've been called to. You know, he says, again, I don't have the past in front of me, but we're always receiving grace. God has never stopped giving grace. We've just stopped receiving it and sort of forgot how to utilize it. But Jesus says that grace must be confirmed by us. If it's not confirmed, it sort of goes back into a limbo state, sort of halfway between heaven and earth. So it bounces back, return to sender, so to speak. It must be confirmed. What does it mean to be confirmed? Well, we have to acknowledge receipt of it, even if we don't feel it, even if we don't recognize it, even if we don't understand it. How do we do that? It can be just as simple as a thank you. I love you. I trust you. Just something, or fiat, the greatest of all words, probably, just to confirm it. And then the grace can be utilized. It's like going to the gas station and you're going to get gas, but you're filling a gas can. You're not putting it in the car. Well, it's great in the gas can, but it's not going to get your car going. Grace cannot be utilized until it's confirmed. It's easy to confirm. Just, I think if we even just think about gratitude at every moment we can. And if we have nothing smart or intelligent or quick to say to the Lord, say, I love you. I thank you. I miss you.
Help me.
Help me. Help me. Just like he said to Louisa, help me. So
help me.
Again, he says he had to make this easy and accessible to all, in all situations, all circumstances, and in every place, except for those who don't want it. It had to be easy, but yet so it's so easy. That's what I think sometimes makes it so difficult. Final thoughts, Maureen.
Yeah. So you have certain sentences that you say a lot, and I'm so glad you do, because when I'm reading the volumes, I'm like, oh, Peter says that all the time. So
I
I
can't
found
remember
one.
Much. I only remember a few of them.
Okay. So I'm going to read. I'll end with this.
Okay.
Okay. See if
Great.
You can pick out the sentence. It's the last
okay.
one. Ready?
Okay.
Jesus says, follow me step by step, and you will feel the life, the heartbeat, the happiness of this kingdom that I contain within me and that wants to come out in order to reign in the midst of creatures. And my love for it is so great that if I allowed the infernal enemy to penetrate into Eden, I will not allow him to set foot in the Eden of the kingdom of the fiat. And this is why I permitted that he draw near me in the desert to debilitate him and put an end to his steps and to close the way for him that he might not dare enter. Don't you yourself feel how your presence terrorizes the enemy and he takes flight so as not to see you? It is the strength of my victory that hurls him down and, feeling confused, he flees. Everything is prepared. There is nothing left but to make it known. And that sentence is one of your favorites, and I love it too. And that's where it came from. I said, oh, that's the follow-up.
You know, I love that too, because when you listen to that, I think that's what helps us. I think that helps go, whew.
Yeah.
Because if you had to think about digesting meticulously 36 volumes
right.
and doing that And being a father, being a mother, being a husband, being a wife, being a caregiver, it would be almost impossible.
Yeah.
Again, that in of itself is probably one of the most uplifting things you can think about. And then my caveat to that is also that this gift is so special and so unique and so destined for those who he's called that as Saint Louis de Montfort talks about, he sent it underground, invisibly. It comes into us. No one can take it, no one can stop it, no one can steal it. The only way we cannot receive it is to reject it. How easy is that? And that's why we can just give our fiat, not understanding. Maybe it's not our job to understand right now, or understand a little bit. Remember, the room has to become dark so that the light can be better seen. And that's why he says opposition, it has to happen. It happened to me in my humanity. It's going to happen when these writings go. He knew the church was not going to understand this first time around because they were going to try to understand it in a human mode, which is impossible. But that's very uplifting. See, these are the things we need to highlight or place on our desk. Because again, we all have dry moments. We all have, not so good days. Not bad days, but not so good days or better days or worse days than others. But we need to pick ourselves up with this. I mean, God, he really wants us to receive this gift and to live in this gift more than we do. And I believe him when he says he had to make this easy and accessible. How else would he be fair? I mean, we are beyond blessed. And all we need to do really is to confirm the grace by just saying thank you. And sometimes we don't even know what we're thanking him for.
Right.
But we know that the grace is there. We woke up in the morning, right? It's beating our heart, breathing our lungs, flowing our blood. That in of itself is a miracle. And it happens every day we wake up. Treasure it. Treasure every day. Treasure every moment. Treasure this gift. And don't let this, like you said, Maureen, don't let these distractions bog us down or paralyze us. And sometimes the distractions come from ourselves. We don't have to look for the outside to do it. They
Right.
do their own work, but sometimes we do it ourselves. And that must stop.
And
Remember?
God's asking us to do a great thing. So the accuser is going to put us in the past, and the worrier is going to put us in the future. And God's saying, my grace is in the present moment. If you go to the past, I'm not there. If you go to the future, I'm not there. I want you right where you are, and here's my grace wrapped around you. So
Yep,
don't
that's
go either
it.
to the front or the back.
Father
He's
Brown's quote, today is crucified between two thieves, yesterday and tomorrow. We can't let that happen. Enjoy today. Live today like it's our last, because one day it's going to be our last. Thanks be to God. We'll have Mother Gabriel and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will coming to us live, I think, from Italy on Sunday. That's why I don't gamble. I have a 50-50 chance I mess it up every time. I think it's Italy, but if it's not Italy, it'll be Marysville, Tennessee, but I think it's Italy. We're blessed and just relish this moment. And I think we can effectuate change in many we interact with without even saying a word, just by our disposition, our joy, our contentment. I mean, these are things we can't hide. And for good reasons. People pick up vibes, good and bad. Preach always. Sometimes use words. Love everyone. Thanks be to God. Thank you,
Bye,
Maureen.
everybody.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Peter.
See everyone on Sunday, hopefully. God willing. Bye-bye.